Hi everyone, Ryan here, and welcome to the 10th episode of The Stoic Advantage. Today I'm going to be playing an interview that I had with Simon Drew. Simon is the host and creator of a very popular podcast about Stoicism called the Practical Stoic Podcast. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and it's really helped me gain an understanding of Stoic philosophy. He's had a bunch of great guests on there, so shout out to that podcast. Simon is young too. He's in his mid-20s, but he has such a great perspective on life for being so young. So I'm really excited to be sharing this interview with you. Just a reminder, please try to download this episode, share it with your friends, like the podcast at whatever platform you're using. As well, I do have a Patreon account that I've created. So go to patreon.com/thestoicadvantage. And anything helps at this point, that'd be great. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Simon Drew. This is Simon Drew from the Practical Stoic Podcast. Simon, thank you for coming on.
Ryan, thanks so much for having me.
So Simon is an alignment coach, trail runner, and jazz musician. He is also the host of the Practical Stoic Podcast, which I've mentioned, which allows him to connect with thousands of people around the world to help them achieve clarity and purpose since 2017. So Simon, I just want to start with a first question, which is, I ask a lot of the guests who've been on who are interested in Stoicism, how are you first introduced to Stoic philosophy?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. So basically for myself, I originally got the idea from Tim Ferriss because I, kind of got really obsessed with personal development when I was a bit younger, around my early 20s. Was listening to Tim Ferriss a lot, was listening to a lot of other podcasts, and he kind of said that his favorite book was Letters from a Stoic. And I hadn't really read a lot of philosophy before that. And so to me, I was like, cool, well, I might as well try it, give it a go. So I read Letters from a Stoic. And what really, stood out to me about this philosophy is its parallels between kind of a lot of the modern personal development literature that we read today. Things from Tony Robbins or from, Dale Carnegie or, all of these great personal development leaders. And to me, it really stood out as one of the original sources of all of this really great wisdom that we have today. And so, from there, I just absolutely fell in love with the philosophy, started learning a lot more about it, started reading from the other philosophers, Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, and started getting quite obsessed with trying to learn more about where these ideas are all coming from.
Yeah, really cool. And I'm curious, why do you think Stoicism has made such a comeback over the last, decade, but especially the last few years with Ryan Holiday publishing books, Donald Robertson publishing books?
I don't quite know. I think there's obviously a combination of the internet has allowed us to free up a lot of information that, used to not be so prevalent. We really do live in the best time in history. We can just have information at our fingertips. Everybody's sharing it around, people like yourself and people like me, we can start podcasts and share the ideas even further. So I think there's an element of that there that, what was previously only available in books is now available to everyone, and it becomes very widespread. But what's very interesting as well is to see the reemergence of these ideas during times when we probably do need them a little bit more. We're going through an interesting time. The past 20 years has just been just so incredibly interesting in terms of new developments around the world and new challenges, new opportunities, new threats. So I think that what's great about this philosophy is that people are really jumping onto it because we're in kind of a strange time in history where there's a lot of brand new ideas, brand new things coming into our lives. And we need something, a little bit more stable, a little bit more, real than a lot of the stuff that we're kind of dealing with at the moment. So I think that there's kind of an element of, both, hey, the internet's here, so information is free and everywhere. And also we're dealing with many interesting challenges in our modern times that really are, you know, kind of remedied by this kind of philosophy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of those challenges, I know, have you read Mark Manson?
I haven't read Mark Manson yet. No.
He's the one who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes. Yeah.
So in the book, he talks about how we live in interesting times in the sense that for the most part, like we're able to get by with food. Food is cheaper than ever. We're able to have resources, yeah. But we are experiencing what he calls, I guess, an existential crisis. Like a lot of us has to go through what is meaningful in life. How do I live a purpose-driven life? Which years ago, that wasn't even thought of. It was you get a job working on a farm, you do your task, you don't think about that stuff. But yeah, now that we're thinking about, you know, what is meaningful in life and we have more of an ability to explore different career paths, yeah, things become a lot more complicated. So I think that's what Stoic philosophy yeah. can help us do.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm curious, why did you start the Practical Stoic podcast? And what was your initial vision for the podcast? And has that vision changed over time?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, it was actually, like the name suggests, a very practical pursuit. I think for me, I looked around for a podcast to listen to about Stoicism because I'm a very, you know, audio visual kind of learner. As much as I do love to sit down with a really good book, you know, I could listen to YouTube and podcasts all day, and it's helpful for me to kind of seep in a few of these ideas. But I was looking for a Stoic podcast so that I could learn more about it. Didn't really find one that was really exactly what I would have wanted. And then I thought, well, you know what? I'm a musician. I've got the recording equipment. You know, I've got the, you might say, the charisma that you would need to have a podcast. And so I thought, I'll start a podcast about it. You know, if I want to learn about this philosophy, then maybe the best thing that I could do is to learn about it whilst I also teach. There's this brilliant idea that comes from Jim Rohn, one of the personal development leaders of the 80s and 90s. And he basically said that, you know, the best thing that you can do when you're trying to learn something is to share it with people. Because then, you know, if you share it with one person, then you've heard it once when you learnt it. And then you've also heard it a second time when you've shared it. And if you share it with 10 people, then you've now heard it like 11 times because you learnt it and then you shared it with 10 people. So he said that, you know, it's actually a very selfish pursuit when he goes up and does speeches, because for him, it's like, hey, great. He gets to hear these ideas once again, you know, and it seeps more into his mind. So for me, it was about doing something that really allowed me to learn and force myself to learn about something that I was really excited to be learning about whilst also sharing that information. And honestly, it's been such a great journey so far, just bringing so many people around the world into a state of kind of, you know, where they feel like they're making really good progress in their lives because, you know, I'm just sharing these ideas and there's nothing new that I'm sharing. It's just all, you know, talking about these ideas and helping people to implement them, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with the idea that we need these ideas to be repeated over time to get them instilled in us. And that's why when I first read a lot of these kind of modern Stoic books, like these books about Stoicism, whether it be Donald Robertson or Jonas Salzgeber, I was thinking they're talking about the same thing, but I think that's the point. You need that repetition. It's almost like people who go to church, you go there not to learn necessarily something new, but to gain that continual repetition to keep living out your faith. So I'm curious, did you have you faced any obstacles so far in your process of creating and continuing the podcast? And if so, what did you learn from these obstacles?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. You know, I think honestly, the only obstacles that I've faced have been the ones that I put up myself, you know, and that's pretty much the same case with everything that we do in our lives. But, you know, for me, the obstacles have all just been my kind of tendency to move from place to place very quickly and I guess make changes in my own life. But it's been very interesting so far because I started the podcast, it immediately got some really good traction, you know, within a year and a half or so, or maybe a year, I think it was up to about 1 million downloads around the world total. And you know, when it got to there, I was like, okay, wow, this is serious now. But then, you know, I kind of took a career in the fitness industry, began managing a gym, got very busy with that, you know, spending about 47 hours a week, whether it's driving, working, all that sort of stuff. And just didn't manage to keep it up in the background a lot of the time. So there was a lot of periods of, you know, where there was a bit of a hiatus. Mm-hmm. But in terms of overcoming those boundaries that I put on myself, sorry, I'm getting quite croaky here. I promise I don't have the virus. Not that it would matter between us anyway. Yes. So for me, it came to a decision last year, actually, where I kind of overcame those boundaries by leaving my position at the gym and going full time into this direction, because I just felt like the meaning was there, the purpose was there. People were still getting a lot of value out of the podcast, and I just decided that this is something that is my big opportunity to actually make a difference in people's lives, as well as my coaching, which I just absolutely love to do with people. So, you know, I kind of left the whole career, the golden handcuffs, as they say, and decided just to jump 100% in. And that's kind of the biggest roadblock that I was able to overcome, which is now working out beautifully for me. So, yeah,
it's great that it turned out. And I'm curious, I mean, I introduced you as an alignment coach. Could you just get a little bit into more detail about what that is?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of it comes from this idea that Epictetus taught. This is this beautiful quote that he said, which is basically, first decide what you would be and then do what you have to do. So in Stoicism and, you know, throughout philosophy in general, there's a big push for people to essentially, you know, define what is their personal ideal. Who is it that you want to be? How do you want to live your life? One of the biggest messages that I shared on the Practical Stoic podcast early on, which really changed a lot of people's lives because they told me about it, is this idea of sitting down and writing out your own personal philosophy. You know, there's a lot of philosophies out there, but you can actually, as an individual, sit down and actually think about what is your highest ideal? What is the philosophy by which you want to live your life? It can be pieces from Stoicism, you know, it can be pieces from modern personal development books, science, religion, all these great areas of study that we can take from. And that can be your ideal. And so I basically help people to really clearly define exactly who it is that they want to be. And then I kind of help them to build a plan around how we would kind of put that into action so that they can live their life in such a way that every day brings them a little bit closer to that personal ideal. That's what I love to do with people.
Yeah, that's great. I'm wondering, going back to the podcast, what do you like about the podcasting medium? And has your format changed? I know you've only been doing it since, I think you said 2017, right?
Yeah.
Has the format changed since that period, or has it basically stayed the same?
No, it's all pretty much stayed the same. You know, it will develop over time. I know I'm looking for different ways to kind of change up the format. But in general, you know, if it's an episode where I'm just talking, it'll be, you know, 5 to 20 minutes. And I'll just sit there and press record. And then if it's a guest, there's not much you can do with that. You just, you know, interview the guest and you chuck it up. But what I love about the podcast medium is just the freedom of the spread of information, and also the freedom with which you can listen to the information and get it into your mind, right? Because I'm the kind of person, like, these Apple headphones in my ear, these are my favorite, what you might call preferred indifferent, you know, like these are the things that really don't matter in a big way to me, as the Stoics would say, but I would prefer to have them, because every single moment pretty much that I'm not doing my work or, you know, doing something where I can't be listening to something, I've got these, and I'm listening to podcasts, YouTube, things that are really helping me to understand new concepts. So for me, the podcast medium is great because you could be working out, you could be mowing the lawn, you could be, you know, just typing away there, doing some work, and you can still be learning and listening at the same time. And that's what I love about the medium anyway.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk?
I love Gary Vee. Yeah. Yes.
So I know, like, he thinks audio is the way of the future, right? Because it offers that opportunity to listen and then do other tasks as well. So I know he would totally agree with what you just said there. You mentioned some guests. Who are some memorable guests you've had on your podcast? And what advice have you taken from them, if you remember any of the advice or knowledge that they've given you?
Yeah, look, I've been really, really fortunate to have had, you know, pretty much most of the you know, big thinkers in terms of Stoicism around the world on the podcast, you know, and so, you know, for me, it was really kind of humbling to come into the, you might call it the Stoic community. I don't want to be too religious in my terminology about this, but, you know, coming into the Stoic community and having all of these great people like Donald Robertson and Massimo Pigliucci, Ryan Holiday, you know, people like Gregory Lopez, Gregory Sadler, just so many brilliant people, Nancy Sherman as well, who wrote a beautiful book about Stoicism in the military as well. And even Sharon LaBelle as well, who is this just gorgeous person who she translated a lot of Epictetus's work into kind of an understandable English way. And so I've been really fortunate to have so many of these great people who are really talking about Stoicism, writing about Stoicism. And I guess in terms of specific lessons, I have to say the person who I've most enjoyed spending time with, and this isn't, you know, against any of my other guests because I love them all, but definitely Sharon LaBelle, I've spent the most time kind of talking to, and she's just been a wonderful influence on me. Just her calm, her, I guess her very beautiful outlook on life and nature and how to live a good life. And, you know, she to me is an example of somebody who, you know, she translated the works of Epictetus into modern English a while ago. And then she, you know, she's not necessarily loud out there in the public. She hasn't got, you know, she won't have a YouTube channel. She doesn't have anywhere that you can go to really, you know, listen to her every single day. But she's the kind of person when you sit down and talk to, you see why she's not necessarily the loudest. It's like Seneca had this great line. I can't remember it exactly, but he said to one of his friends, you might think that I would be disappointed that I haven't heard much about you, but the very fact that I haven't heard much about you makes me respect you so much more, right? And so for Sharon, you know, it's kind of one of those cases where she's very reserved, but when you start speaking to her, you understand the peace that she has in her life, and that's kind of what we're all after, right?
Well, for sure, yeah. I'm curious, obviously, when I first got into Stoicism, there were some misconceptions I had about it. I remember, I think I first heard the word Stoic or Stoicism back in second or third year university. I was studying Shakespeare, one of his plays, and the word was mentioned, and our professor kind of introduced it as like not caring or like not showing any emotion. And that's what my understanding was it for years. And then once I got into it, I soon learned that was not the case. So I'm wondering, what are some Stoic myths that you wish to dispel that are commonly held?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've been thinking about that because I want to try and skirt around this without offending as many people as possible. But from my perspective, I bring a different kind of perspective to the philosophy because I'm a jazz musician, I'm a performer, you know, involved in the fitness industry. Well, I bring a whole heap of different kind of perspectives to this. And as a performer, as a musician, you know, I love culture. You know, I tend to be quite charismatic, and you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it works against me. But I tend to really enjoy the art of performance and laughter and having a good time. And so I think that the myth that I would kind of like to dispel, or at least maybe even bring my own flavor to the philosophy, it would be the best way to put it, is to say that this isn't a philosophy that has to turn you into an emotionless, you know, not caring kind of person. Like, and I think that that is a myth, actually, because there's so much brilliant, you know, there's so much brilliant results that can come from this philosophy that can help you to be a better person in every area of your life, including how you love people, how you care for people, how you express your emotions if you need to. So like, I think that there's a lot of real benefit that comes when people don't just jump into this and think, okay, it's all about not feeling, it's about covering up my emotions. That's just not what the philosophy is about. And you can be fun, you can be charismatic, you can have a good time in life whilst also being aligned with Stoic principles. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I would kind of take a look at there.
Yeah. Now getting into the practices, I'm curious, what Stoic practice or practices do you find yourself using most often?
I think that for me, the most helpful thing for me has been this idea of viewing things outside of what they are. So there's this idea that comes from Marcus Aurelius, which is the view from above meditation. You probably know this, where, you know, you essentially suspend yourself above the world and you look down on the world and try to imagine just how insignificant your problems might be, seeing as you're just a tiny little speck of dust on a tiny little blue planet in the middle of this gigantic universe, right? And the Stoics really did a great job of encouraging us to reach a different perspective, a different viewpoint, a paradigm, so that we could see things clearer than what we can see just looking at what we see from our own minds. And the biggest thing that's been helpful to me, honestly, has just been stepping outside of myself and viewing the world, and also viewing myself and my own actions, my own thoughts, my own reactions to certain stimulus in my life. And when you do that, when you start watching yourself, when you start watching the world, you see things for, I guess, what they really are, as opposed to what you think they are. Because the Stoics really taught that so much of what we experience in life comes down to our own perceptions and how we perceive the stimulus that we all see. And so if you can kind of change the stories that you tell yourself, then maybe you can change the results that you see in your life, or at least change the feelings that you have about what happens in your life. So for me, it's all about that self-introspection, that self-knowledge, self-awareness, and about trying to understand maybe a little bit of a deeper level to what it is that we're all doing here by stepping back from time to time and just watching as a spectator as opposed to a player.
Yeah, no, and I have another question which I just thought of now. It may touch on what you just said, but has Stoicism helped inform you as like a musician? And you said you're a trail runner?
Yeah, so I think, it's just one of those philosophies that I really think can help pretty much everyone to become more effective at what they're doing. And it might be best to kind of preface this by saying that Stoicism has, I believe, three basic questions that are actually really important questions to ask in your life. And these questions kind of revolve around the Stoic disciplines of physics, ethics, and logic. And so these questions are basically, you know, for the physics, the question is, okay, what is all of this that I see, and how does that mean that I should fit into it, I guess? So basically, you know, it's a question of what is the earth, what is the universe, what is the cosmos, and what's my place in it? The ethics question is, you know, now that I know what all of this is, hopefully, you know, how should I act accordingly? So, for example, they taught that human beings are social creatures, and they also have the capacity for rationality. So we should use rationality to increase our ability to be social creatures and to improve our social relations with people. So that's the physics and the ethics. And then the logic is basically, now that I think I know what the world is and how I should act in it, how do I even know if I'm right or not, right? So the logic is very important, because that's how we actually decide whether we're right or not in our thinking. And so, you know, you can use this kind of method for whether it's trail running or whether it's music or whether it's a career choice that you have, sports, everything. Everything can be benefited if you will look at the world like this, ask these important questions. You know, what is all this that I'm dealing with? How should I act? How do I know if I'm right? When it comes to music, you know, a lot of it even comes down to a lot of the Stoic tools and tactics that they give us, like, you know, the dichotomy of control, for example, is a brilliant tool that you can use from Stoicism that can help you to understand whether you're thinking correctly or not, because it says that there are some things that are in your control in life, and there are some things that are completely outside of your control. And ultimately, what it comes down to is the only thing that is really definitely surely in your control, if that, I mean, it might not even be in our control if you stand on a particular side of the determinism kind of debate. But the one thing that you can control is your responses to stimulus in your life. So, you know, you get that initial emotion, something happens to you and you think, oh gosh, I've got to act in this certain way. You don't have to act yet. You can pause and you can decide what you're going to do. So in music, you might think, well, I need to study, or I need to practice, or I need to sit down and compose something. There's immediately going to be resistance. There's going to be an emotional kind of response. But what you would say is, okay, well, what can I focus on right now? I can only focus on my response, my reactions. I can focus on doing exactly what I need to do. And so it can help you to narrow in and really get a clear picture of exactly what's within your power and what's not, which ultimately helps anyone with any pursuit to move in a better direction.
Yeah. No, I know one thing, I'm a musician myself, kind of a semi-musician. And one thing I've always had a fear of is, both on guitar and piano, is improvisation. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to just like stay in the moment and focus on what you can control. So I know I've often thought about like how could stoicism help me as a musician and a runner as well, because I'm right now training for my first ever marathon. And I go back to the idea of what can I control. I can control just putting one step in front of the other. So for sure, I think stoicism definitely has influence on every part of your life. I'm curious, what books have had the biggest impact on your life? You could talk about Stoic books or even books outside of Stoicism.
I guess, firstly, it has to go to, like, number one place always goes to Letters from a Stoic. Mm-hmm. Now, that just for everybody's, just if you don't know about Letters from a Stoic, it's basically a collection of letters that Seneca wrote to his friend Lucilius. And these are letters talking about life, how to live it, how to be an effective person. And so there's so many brilliant ideas in this book. And, you know, it's just one of those, because he's writing to his friend, it seems as though he's writing to you. So it's very personal. And if you read it over and over and over again, you'll get so much more every time you read it. Seneca was just he was an orator. He was a statesman. He was a very smart person. And so you will take a lot out of it every time. But even books outside of Stoicism, you know, I had quite an interesting year after my 20th birthday, because before my 20th birthday, I'd pretty much read one or two books through all the way, like in my entire life. I was absolutely completely blind to the idea that reading books would be helpful for me. And, you know, that's not to say that I didn't do well in school. I got great grades, you know, went to university to study music. I was doing fine. You know, I was just, naturally, I just didn't move towards it. But then I went and I saw this seminar, basically, where this guy said that information changes situations. That was the big quote that I got out of the seminar. And I thought, wow, okay, I better start reading, getting some new information. So I just started reading, like, you know, I think I read 80 something books that year, just after having read pretty much nothing, just filled my mind up. So like the first one that really got me excited about personal development and changing my direction was The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. So books like that, just absolutely, you know, super helpful practical advice. And I guess the one that I can always come back to and get something new, get something really interesting, is as much as it's a cheesy title, it's such a great book, Think and Grow Rich. You know, it's just Napoleon Hill, crazy person, some crazy ideas in there, but there's a lot of really good stuff in there that I always come back to and think, you know, I'm really glad that I learned that lesson. So those are, I guess, my biggest suggestions.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't checked out the last one, so I'll have to check that one out. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you kind of referred to when you passed your 20s, what advice would you give your younger self? Maybe say, now I don't know how old you are. Usually I ask, what advice would you give your 25-year-old self? I don't know if you're, but what
I'm 26.
Advice? 26. So, there you go.
Pretty much give it. Yeah. No, I love this question.
Maybe say what advice would you give your 18-year-old self coming out of high school or finishing up high school?
Whenever I do a gig, and if there's ever a theme of Frank Sinatra and stuff, because I'm a jazz musician and I sing, and so, you know, people often request songs and they'll always say, hey, can you do Frank Sinatra's My Way? And my answer is always exactly the same. I don't think I'm old enough to have had the opportunity to do things my way yet. Yeah. So I cannot sing that until I'm like 50 years old and I've lived a crazy life, you know, doing all these kinds of things. But I think I'd probably have very much the same answer in that I tend to think that it's very important that we all look back on our journey with I guess a sense of, it's hard to explain. I guess my answer honestly is that I don't necessarily think that I would change anything. And I know you're going to hate that answer and it's the worst answer possible, but I just tend to look back and think, you know what, everything that has happened so far has led me in a certain direction that I wouldn't want to screw anything up. Yeah. And I think that if I went back and changed anything, then there would be the potential for things to maybe, you just never know how things are going to work out. So I'm generally very happy to, you know, even not really look back from time to time. I'm just very focused on what's happening now and what can I change now and what can I improve, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess maybe a piece of advice would be like, just trust the process.
Yeah.
Don't worry about where you're going to end up. Just it'll work out and things happen for a reason.
Yeah, we tend to be very hard on ourselves looking back at the things that we've done. And I've made a lot of mistakes and I haven't lived a perfect life at all. But I'm 26. That's the beautiful thing. Hey, you know, we can take a lot of risks. We can change things. And I think that Epictetus actually, you know, Epictetus, one of the great Stoic philosophers, gave us a great process to go by when it comes to our own personal development. It's essentially two elements. He says you need self-scrutiny and you need self-kindness. And I think that self-kindness comes in as even more important than the self-scrutiny, because you need to forgive yourself for the mistakes you've made in the past in order to move on and make progress in the future. And so, you know, I really think that loving what you've experienced so far is the best way to learn from what you've experienced so far and to actually take those lessons forward into the future and help you to, you know, create a better future for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And maybe shifting now to present day, right now we kind of alluded to it. We're in like an unusual time. How can Stoic philosophy help us mentally get through this difficult or unusual time?
I think the first thing that I would say is that everybody needs to cope in the way that they cope, and they need to trust themselves that their body naturally will be coping with this in whatever way it needs to cope with it. You know, these are really difficult times for a lot of people around the world. As much as I have a deep desire to tell everybody, wake up, you know, experience life from the way I experience it. You know, that just doesn't help in times like these where we need to encourage people to, I guess, you know, if they need counseling, get counseling. If they need to go to a psychologist, go to a psychologist. But what I would say is that in times like these, I guess the things that you've made important become apparent. And so something that the Stoic Seneca actually said is, he said that we should treat our minds as if we are a soldier preparing for battle. And what he meant was, you know, if a soldier is in peacetime, they're actually still doing all of the maneuvers. They're doing all of the training. They're making sure that they're getting their target practice. You know, they're strengthening their body. They're making sure that they are preparing for the very horror that they are, you know, I guess, trying to be prepared for. They're doing the things when it's not happening. And so philosophy does that for our mind. And so if you're philosophically inclined and you're reading, you're learning, you're trying to better your mind, strengthen your mind, this is the best thing that you can do so that down the line, if something does happen, then you've already been there strengthening your mind. And so for a lot of people, if they're new to philosophy, if they're new to personal development, I'd say, you know, yeah, read the ideas. They'll be helpful for you. However, just understand that it doesn't come quickly. Like, just because there's an international crisis doesn't mean that you're going to pick up all of these ideas and it's going to change your life in a week's time. This is all a very long-term strategy. The study of philosophy, the study of personal development, it's a long-term game. And so I would just say, yeah, listen to your body, listen to the way that you're responding to this and try to experience it in the way that you need to. and then come back to philosophy and try to get some of these good ideas into your life so that the next time this happens, you might not be so surprised or so unprepared.
Mm-hmm. I know I came across a blog post by Ryan Holiday a couple of days ago, and he spoke about maybe a silver lining throughout this process is us being able to, since we're home all the time, us being able to maybe pursue an interest that we've been wanting to pursue for a while, but we haven't had the time for. So I have a lot of friends who are saying they want to start podcasts, and I'm curious, what advice would you give for a beginning podcaster who wants to make this a consistent habit?
Yeah, definitely. I think Ryan, firstly, Ryan makes a really good point. I think that one of the beautiful things about Stoicism is they encourage us to align with nature. One of the things that that actually means, or it could be interpreted, which absolutely makes sense, is we all have these natural inclinations, these things that we would love to do, which are drawing our attention in. And the great thing about that is it's almost like an internal compass that can show you a good direction to go. Because if you're interested in something, then you're going to learn it a lot quicker because you're drawn to it. So that's following your nature. And I actually think that what we're going to see over the next few months is a lot of people really questioning why they've been in these specific jobs or why they've been doing this or that with their lives when they could have been sitting there at home doing something every single day that brought them so much joy that was actually a really valuable thing for them and other people. And so, yeah, I encourage people to take this opportunity, you know, amidst the chaos. I know a lot of people are in pain out there, but, you know, when you're able to process this, come back to the thought of, you know, what would I do every single day with my life if I could do anything? It's a very important question. But in terms of podcasting, I would give the exact same advice that Tim Ferriss gives about writing a book. And that is, you know, he says, if you're going to write a book, make sure that you have something to say, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of podcasts coming out now. It's one of those emerging markets. It's like, you know, it's the Wild West. Just because it's the Wild West doesn't mean that it's a quick path to success in any measure. And so even Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this. Self-awareness is key. You have to be really self-aware. Ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I starting a podcast because I literally, like, this is my medium and I love to do it and this is how I want to reach people? Or are you starting a podcast because, you know, six people in your life, you know, say, hey, starting a podcast is a great idea. You can make a lot of money. And, you know, like, there's you got to understand the motives underneath why you're doing this. And I would just say to people, be very self-aware so that if you want to start a podcast, if you decide to do so, it's because you actually have something really important that you have to say to people, that really would make you disappointed if you didn't say it. So those are the kinds of people who I want to see doing podcasts, because then there's something great to listen to. But you know, it's kind of the same as the book market. There are millions of books out there. But if you don't have something really valuable to say, then it's just going to be another book on the shelf and it's going to sell, you know, two copies, you know, one of them's to your mom. And, you know, so you've got to be really self-aware with this whole process. And hey, if you decide to jump into it and do a podcast, just go all in, you know, like that, make it happen and, you know, trust your decisions.
Yep. So would you recommend going in there with the topic already in mind, or experimenting with different topics? You think you should probably have in mind already?
Look, you can always change it along the way, but I think it's important to clearly define the audience that you would like to speak to and the message that you want them to hear. One of the reasons why, you know, the Practical Stoic podcast has gone to, you know, number one Stoic podcast around the world is because I got in at a time where there weren't a lot of us about Stoicism. So I was very, very lucky there. And I also was able to speak in such a way that the audience out there who wanted a Stoic podcast was able to hear it. And so it actually really took off faster than what I had expected. But that was because I had a very clear niche. And also I was able to implement in a really effective way, being a musician, having recording equipment. And so, yeah, for me, it's just a matter of, yeah, if the audience is there, if you have a clearly defined person who you would love to listen to your podcast and you have a clearly defined message, mm-hmm. that's probably the biggest, biggest things that I would encourage people to think about.
Yeah. Did you, I'm curious, I had Trevor Spencer from the Marathon Training Academy on a couple episodes ago, and he said he deliberately made it so he put marathon in the podcast channel title. Is that something you deliberately thought you'd take advantage of putting stoic?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to find you if you just have the, you know, like the Simon Drew podcast and nobody knows you, right? Yeah. So, you know, if you've got something to say, make sure that you present it in such a way that your audience actually knows, you know, exactly what it's about.
Yeah, for sure. Last question. What is next for Simon Drew? Like you mentioned a book, do you have like a possibility of a book down the road or something else with a podcast?
Look, there's so many different things that I'm looking at the moment. Honestly, when it comes to a book, I have been ruminating over that a lot lately because I guess learning from all of the great Stoic teachers now and reading and trying to understand this philosophy, what I get from people is that there's as many different ways to interpret this philosophy as there are people to interpret it. So there's a lot of different views coming out of them, which are great. But in terms of that advice from Tim Ferriss, where he said, you know, make sure you have something to say when you write a book, that's slowly becoming apparent to me, the thing that I really need to say. And I always look at my tattoo on my arm. It says memento mori. That's a, that's a line that the Stoics would say, which means remember death. Mm-hmm. And so that inspires me every day to really think about this and be like, okay, what's the thing that I would bring to the world before I die? Like, what do I need to bring out? What would I be disappointed if I like was all of a sudden in some heavenly land after dying? And I'm like, damn it, I wish I had like, you know, told that message. That's slowly coming out. But the thing that's changed for me most with the podcast is, I guess my new direction, and I'm very excited about this, is I think that instead of just talking to people about Stoicism, which is great, I want to really branch out and start learning about the influences of Stoicism, people like Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. And then, you know, when I've learned about all the influence of Stoicism, I want to keep on branching out and learning from as many different people from as many different disciplines as possible, asking the question that I believe the Stoics asked, which is, how do you live an effective life, right? That's essentially the big question of Stoicism. It's how do you be an effective person? How do you live an effective life? And how do you make sense of all of this? And I think that that's a question that can't just be answered by people who are talking about Stoicism. It has to be answered by people who are focusing on very specific disciplines, like, you know, biologists, microbiologists, you know, chemists, you know, doctors. You know, I'm talking about other philosophers from different disciplines, you know, musicians, artists. Like, there's so many different people where if you actually listen to them, they will tell you something deeply profound about what it means to be a human being. That's the question that I want to start asking. So I'm going to start branching out and getting more people on the show who can teach us about how to live a good life from their eyes.
Thank you, Simon, for coming on.
Ryan, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, take care.